original, still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for May 31st, 2012. My God, it's the last day of May of 2012. I am getting so old.
Deal.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, you know, we just started doing this live thing, and I thought, wait, I'm going through the old show notes, trying to clean some stuff up, and we've been doing live for more than 2 years. That's scary. That's scary as crap. Just like XV's frozen camera.
I think he's just so surprised by your suggestion that he has frozen.
Yeah. So, this is Brian Kilby with me this week. I have a frozen XV who has just now fallen and can't get up. Peter Van and Rob Clay. So, hey guys, how's it going?
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah, John, of course, is John, and he's working crazy hours this week. I actually just got home myself, so John's not here. JD is taking some time off to be with his wife, who's going away to work away from home for a protracted period of time. So, and Amy is not here with us this week either. It looks like
she is out of town.
She's out of town, but we of course do have comic news with Amy, and the second, actually, I guess technically the first episode of Rescue. I'll call it an abbreviated version of her Rescue Central podcast that she does with Nicole Hale, who is awesome and we miss. Again, I wanted to get in the first 5 minutes of the show for 2 weeks in a row. Hey, XV.
What?
Oh, I hate you so much.
Ah, good, then I'm doing my job correctly.
Oh, you're awesome, XV. I'm kidding. So, let's go ahead and get into the news. So this is an item that was added, not by me, by XV. And I think we all know what an affinity that I think most of us have for G2. And specifically, Bruticus. I love Bruticus. And so there's a version of Bruticus that's coming out, the Combaticons, that is apparently, by all signs, an homage to G2 Bruticus. Is that basically... Chrome translated it to this page to English for me, and I kind of made some heads or tails.
It doesn't even help.
No,
it doesn't.
It tells me words. It's like, oh, that's a verb.
Although, if you check out... We put out a post on T-Formers, and essentially it was like... It says that it's an exclusive, like the retailer Toys to Mail Station said that's an exclusive, but they didn't say, like, I don't know if they actually said it and Google Translate is just not good at translating it or what, but it appears to be an exclusive of some kind, so it might be like an Asia market exclusive.
Darn that Asian market exclusive stuff. Why do they get all the good crap?
Yeah, and if it looks, and if there's like, there's a question of validity at one point or another, obviously, but somebody went through a lot of trouble to recolor all of the toys. So, I mean, all the colors are all different. So I don't
know. They have G2 symbols on them too.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
Hmm.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. So that pretty much tells me that that's probably not the case. This is probably fake. If it has an actual G2 symbol. I have my doubts.
No, I think if it has the G2 symbol, it could be an Asian exclusive or a show or convention.
A convention exclusive makes sense, but an actual retail release, though. But
it says, I mean, but it says on shelf date October 2012 on the slide.
Hmm. Yeah.
So don't.
So when was the last time we actually got that? I mean, I guess it was G2, not counting I mean, at retail, because the stuff that we got for, at least in the cartoon in red, the Decepticons, then they go back and cover those logos up with Decepticon, a classic Decepticon logo, digitally. Didn't they do that?
No.
They didn't?
No. Now, you have to understand that most of the time in car robots, the Combatron symbols were not drawn on or visible anyway. So, for the very few times they were on screen, it didn't really matter that much.
Okay. I remember something. It must have been, you know, conjecture that they may do that because to protect... At the time that Robots in Disguise came out, Transformers hadn't really released much in the way of Autobots and Decepticons for, you know, years. There was the Machine Wars stuff, but that was about the extent of it. And people had suggested, I guess, that they would use the Decepticon logo as opposed to the G2 logos because, well, those are, you know, more in risk of being lost or more in risk of being lost may not be the right word, but they wanted that to be in the popular conscious of fans, which would be more recognizable than the G2 logos, even though they were more recent at that point. But nobody actually paid attention to G2.
Sad trombone.
Yeah, I know. Makes me very sad. But yeah, okay, so G2, that's really interesting. That's if that's the case, I definitely want it. It will probably go for absurd sums of money.
Yeah, if that thing actually will exist, you know, screw the SDCC version.
Absolutely. But I have my doubts. I have my doubts.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm being a little skeptical with it, too, but, you know, then there is Asia-exclusive Wheelie, so...
And wasn't there a G2 Decepticon symbol on one of the Asia-exclusive figures we were talking about last
supposedly
week?
Supposedly, somebody thought they could see one on Megatron, but it's more like, you know, it's a purple blob.
It could also be, like, It could also be a raisin that had got stuck to the package. I mean, it's hard to tell.
The intern who was taking the pictures just forgot to polish it off.
Just, little tiny blob that's about 2 pixels long and may not even actually be purple.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, so it looks like Toys R Us may be getting a Masterpiece Thundercracker that showed up on a Planogram recently, so that's really interesting. So there's not a backstock. So Hasbro's never used Takara backstock on any of these Masterpiece toys that they've done or anything. I know that there was some back stock that was sold on the old Hasbro Collector, whatever it was called, back before Hasbro Toy Shop. I mean, they would sell back stock of Beast Wars 2 stuff. Or Beast Wars, yeah, it was Beast Wars 2 stuff. But that's never been done here, so this would most likely be a new item and potentially made from the MP11 mold, hopefully.
Nobody knows.
Why would you want the old Starscream mold? It sucks.
They don't know anybody.
I mean, if you have the MP11 mold, why would they not use that?
The only reason I can think of is that it would match the, you know, Masterpiece Starscream and Skywarp they already released here. But that's the only reason I can think of.
I'm certain. Actually, I don't even know that. Does that mold even exist anymore? It's probably been... I would say that the retool is probably in much better condition. Why would they get... that mold has been used a lot. I don't know that they would go back and fix the mold. The old Starscream... Was it MP4? Something.
MP4 might have been Megatron, actually.
Oh, 5, I guess. No, he was before Megatron, so he'd have been 3.
Wasn't 3 Ultra Magnus?
Oh, 2 was Ultra Magnus. Doesn't matter. So, but I mean that mold.
Shut up,
is,
Peter.
That mold is probably beat to crap, if I had to guess. So I would assume that this has to be the MP11 mold. If that's the case, awesome.
It's weird too because at BotCon, you know, we saw they have the new Masterpiece Prime basically sitting ready to go.
Yes.
But this is what shows up on the planogram first.
Yeah, that is kind of ironic.
No, it's not ironic. It makes sense.
Okay, so in the United States, we already got a toy released as Masterpiece Starscream. It was a Walmart exclusive.
Yes.
and that toy was released as a Walmart exclusive. It was a toy that was marketed as Masterpiece Starscream. It's not that often that we get the same toy, the same mold effectively, the same colors, you know, released, you know, 5 or 6 years later. So it's kind of interesting that this is actually a Masterpiece Thundercracker 1 instead of Starscream if it's the new mold. So if this mold is available to Hasbro and they're already using it, what's the chance that we might again get Starscream? Or we might actually get some of the other Jets or Seekers that, you know, that would be potentially viable from this.
Well, I think the odds of getting a Starscream run off of this for U.S. distribution would count on a store in the U.S. taking it on as an exclusive.
It seems like the go-to people for these Masterpiece molds is definitely Toys R Us.
Although Walmart, this is the first time they'll have handled the Seeker mold at all.
Yeah, Walmart got the Seeker mold twice.
And then TJ Maxx got it.
Yeah, it's true. Was Masterpiece Optimus? I got mine at Walmart, but was it available at other retailers? It's been so long ago. It was.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was both times it came out in the U.S.
I don't remember.
Wait, Optimus?
Yeah, I remember the second release of that. Yeah, that had the stand where it would. Speed. Yeah, yeah.
The original was a Toys R Us exclusive.
No, it wasn't.
No. Got it at Walmart.
I'm pretty sure I picked it up from Toys R Us.
I don't have a Toys R Us. Yeah,
I don't doubt that both of you bought it at Toys R Us, but it was also at other stores.
I got mine at work, and I worked 2 minutes from a Walmart. I worked an hour and a half away from a Toys R Us. So,
yeah, I remember seeing the original Masterpiece Prime next to Energon stuff at a Walmart.
Yeah, I saw both of them at Walmart. So, okay. It would be really cool if we could actually get Starscream out of this. I will definitely take a Thundercracker. My thought is this. Even if it's the new mold, it looks like they may be cycling through the Seekers because we first got Starscream, then Skywarp, now Thundercracker.
Yeah.
It's just odd to me.
It's odd that they would go one character at a time and not do repeats.
Well, if it's a retool, if they're using the retool.
Well, Thundercracker is the one they haven't released here yet.
Yeah, but, you know, Starscream has the most name recognition. He's used in the movies, he's used in the cartoon. You would just think
Skywarp
that
pushes people downstairs.
Eh.
Yeah, Thundercracker is just kind of the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, he pretty much is the other one.
Well, okay, I mean, look at it this way, too. It took 5 years to get Classics Thundercracker in the U.S., whereas Starscream and Skywarp were both first year.
Yeah. True.
So, I guess it kind of suits it then that Masterpiece Thundercracker would also be like 5 years after Starscream came out.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, you know, the Masterpiece toys are more of a discretionary purchase. You actually have to say, do I want to spend money on this, as opposed to a deluxe, which is like $10. So if they can release two that sort of compete with each other, or three that sort of compete with each other, because it's $30. Someone's more likely to buy it. It's the reason we have so many freaking leader class Optimus, Megatrons, and Bumblebees, and Starscream.
Oh, the bees.
Yeah.
But no, I do have to wonder, you mentioned Starscream and Skywarp both went to Walmart before, and I wonder if, because they were Walmart exclusives, if there is some reason that they could not give even a new mold of either of them to Toys R Us, and that's why we have Thundercracker.
Yeah, I mean, Starscream certainly sold out quickly. Skywarp didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Skywarp languished.
Well, and the problem with With Starscream, the deco was completely different from the Japanese version. But Skywarp was essentially the same toy.
Yeah. Well,
so a lot of people already had the Japanese one who would have bought this one. And, casual people are like, what?
How much?
You don't think
yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, with Skywarp, anyone who had enough money and enough drive to want to spend that much for a Transformer already had.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, those toys, when they came out in the U.S., they were available at Walmart. The number of people who bought them, I mean, it wasn't just collectors. I mean, the collectors had to compete with, you know, $50 is a lot for a toy, but it's not that much for a toy. Kids love Transformers. I mean, so those kids didn't have a Starscream, or those kids didn't have a Skywarp.
And they still didn't after
Skywarp, I think Skywarp probably was produced in larger quantities, but Starscream sold out more quickly because he's Starscream, which goes back to my original question.
I wouldn't even assume Skywarp was made in higher numbers than Starscream. It's just, you know, it's not as notable.
It's not as notable. I love the colors for Skywarp.
It was more expensive than Starscream was. Starscream came out at $50. Skywarp was at least $60.
Yeah, I got mine for like $25.
Well, yeah, and I bought one for 20 or so, I think.
Pretty great.
Sold it.
Pretty great.
Sold it for double.
Yeah. So, so keep looking out for that. I'm really interested in seeing if, you know, we get another version of this at some point. I'm really doubting it, though, because, well, one, I don't think it would sell. Again, because it's going to be a Toys R Us exclusive, so they're going to charge like $80 for it, and then it's not, you know, then they'll come out with another one for $80 that, you know, nobody would have bought the first one for the most part, because stuff like that just doesn't tend to sell.
So what's the next topic?
BotCon 2012 Transformers Invasion box set is the first offering from an eHobby Transformers and Collectors Club partnership. That's interesting, sort of.
And it sold out?
Sold out within 30 minutes of going up for order.
Yeah, so the whole point behind this is to make these toys available to Japanese consumers, which I don't really... I kind of get that concept, but the numbers that these are produced in, it's almost like it's... I guess this is just a test, because the... like you said, it sold out in half an hour. How many pieces were there? Like 100?
150 sets.
Yeah, 150 sets. So maybe they had doubts that this would sell quickly. I don't know, but it certainly did. What was
real? I think they did. I don't think so. I think they knew it was going to sell.
So the whole point behind this, though, was to make these available to the Japanese consumer, but the Japanese fans, but there are far more people in Japan that would want this than 150.
Well, that's probably all they could get too, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, they were just clearing out whatever. You know, the fun
part. That's how it's gonna work from now on. Any leftovers after BotCon,
So the thought is, so these are Fun Pub leftovers, or it's the stuff that maybe Fun Pub gets returned. They say, no, there's nothing wrong with this, so they repackage it and eHobby sells it. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a great idea, actually.
I mean, they obviously wouldn't ramp up production again just for a measly 150 cents.
Yeah.
No.
Price is too much.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times it would have stuff. What set was that? It took like 5 years to sell out. It was the, was it the 05 set? 06 set?
Yeah.
I mean, they had that in the club store for, I mean, years.
Okay, BotCon 2009, they did something at BotCon where they like offered the 2005 set and an extra attendee freebie figure if you bought one of their 2005 sets.
That's awesome.
So according to the wiki, they cleared out all of the 2005 sets they had on hand at the show that time. But I think that still wasn't all that there was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. John is actually in the chat. And he suggested that, you know, possibly this is like, you know, like you were saying, this is like a test run. So next year for their exclusive sets, they're going to produce way more. So they can oh, if we don't sell out of them here and we don't have to consistently bring back like, you know, Transtech Cheetor to the show every year, we can just load them off on eHobby.
I hope that this is a new direction for FunPub, because they for years the complaint was, well, they are too, you know, collector-focused. It's all about the collector and creating these pieces which are desirable because, you know, people are traveling to BotCon. They want to get something that's exclusive, which, you know, I'm more of the mindset that I would rather them produce more of it you know, drive the price down so that more people can have these, unless it's like what the Wings of Honor set or something like that anybody wants, or if it's more Shattered Glass. You know, in general, I mean, I'm all for them making more. So if that's the direction they're going, I like that a lot. Except for the fact that you're still going to have to pay $300 effectively for the set at BotCon, and it's probably not going to drop the price in any way for anyone except for, well, nobody except for Hasbro. They'll probably end up charging FunPub less because per volume, per unit, because the run's going to be larger. Maybe, maybe not.
And then FunPub will raise the price of pre-registration again.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I really do hope that they're able to make more of these, because occasionally, you know, with the years I don't get to go and it turns out that the set's good, I might really want the set and I'm not able to get it because it's sold out and I'll have to pay like an egregious sum of money on eBay, and I don't want to do that. But thankfully, you know, there's only been a handful of actual sets that I really wanted, and the one that I wanted the most, God. So XV, do you like? You didn't get the set this year, though. You got.
No, I didn't get the box set. I got some of the add-on toys.
Yeah. Did you get anything out of the box set from anybody?
Well, just this so far.
Oh, really? Who did you get that from?
Someone on AllSpark.
How much did you pay? Because that's that's one of two out of the set that I want.
I paid more than I probably should have, but it was better than getting it off eBay.
Yeah. If I
what
could,
I really
surprised.
Want out of the box set is Treadshot, because I have to have all the jazzes.
Yeah, Treadshot's really nice looking, but I don't really care about being a completist about like any given mold.
But that's a great mold, and I need an example of the alternate head sculpt.
I don't like the speakers in the door.
Well, you're stupid and wrong.
I'm actually surprised that people would sell individual figures outside of their set.
Well, they might have got the bagged set or something. Or the second set.
If I had bought a box set, I would have sold off over half of it, probably.
Yeah, and the thing is,
what are you going to do with half of an empty box?
You sell the box.
For, you know, $20, $30.
Yeah.
Hey, look, guys, I'm selling a camera.
I was actually thinking about that. You can sell a set piecemeal for more than you can sell the set as a whole on eBay.
Well, if I would have had the extra spending money at the show, I probably would have had, John or JD put a bag set on their registration, you know, pay them the money for that, and then sell it later, because I could have turned a little profit on it.
Absolutely.
Even keeping some of the toys. But, you know, I had more expensive things to buy instead.
Yeah. You like that? Of course you do.
More jazzes.
Yeah. More jazzes.
Gotta get that wheelie, too.
I want the wheelie. Mm-hmm. Go in my wheelie collection.
Consisting of, what, four toys, maybe?
Just G1 wheelie. So it's like three. Oh. I don't think there's another version of wheelie. You have the G1, you have the mini, you have the Legends class, and it would be that.
I didn't know if you were counting the reissue one also.
Yeah, I guess I could count that.
Wasn't there also a recolor of Legends Wheelie in one of the Dark of the Moon sets at Walmart?
As Shadow Striker, I think.
Ah, okay. I wasn't sure if it was still Wheelie or not.
I love Wheelie. He's the most underappreciated character ever. No, he's not really, but I still like Wheelie.
Well, he's definitely underappreciated.
This is
true.
That's
hard to dispute.
Hey, so last week our topic was comparing Transformers as a property to the other Hasbro items, and I guess the news, you know, broke this week. The actual, honest to God, reason why G.I. Joe Retaliation was moved back a year. They were basically worried that they were going to bomb.
Called it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean the
well, what
the,
I
the
what
early
I've heard
streamers.
Too is that. What I heard, too, is they want to possibly put more Channing Tatum scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
But it was actually mainly because there were not enough Channing Tatum scenes.
Did I misread that? Did they kill him off in the movie?
What I heard is he dies in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
But
that attack, he dies in the attack.
So, basically, though, they have to go in and have Doc say... Actually, no, Scarlet says he's fallen into a coma. And then at the end, Doc, in a voiceover, says he's going to be okay. Or is it Roadblock says Doc says he's going to be okay?
I mean, apparently, so according to Deadline,
they said that
Paramount became extremely concerned about G.I. Joe 2's box office prospects worldwide after its test scores were mediocre to bad.
All of the best stuff must have been in the trailer because it looked awesome.
And the main issue was Channing Tatum was not in the movie.
That would be a plus for me.
Well, apparently he's been The Vow did really well, better than they thought. And then 21 Jump Street, the Jonah Hill movie, did well. It did really well.
Oh yeah, he was in that. Actually, he was tolerable in that. Actually,
and he's also doing another movie which people seem to like, that's coming out this summer as well. Sorry, Diecast, it's Screen View again. Magic Mike, which is essentially like a semi-biographical picture about him. Apparently that's getting, and it's a Steven Soderbergh film, so it's getting a lot of buzz as well. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
They want to capitalize on the Channing Tatum-ness.
So,
yes, but they also wanted to move it because they didn't want Channing Tatum as Duke up against Channing Tatum as Male Stripper.
Right, because Male Stripper would probably win.
Yeah. That's what they're thinking.
I mean, I would choose that one, you know, so.
Yes, you would.
I mean, it just seems like a better movie, you know.
Yeah, okay, so, but that's basically it, so, yes, Rob called it. I think we all really probably thought that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think that, but, hey, speaking of, though, has anyone managed to pick up some Retaliation toys?
Not yet. I was hoping for the G.I. Joe Trooper specifically, but everywhere I went, all the most desirable things had pretty much been picked up, leaving big pile of Roadblock and Snake Eyes.
Well, it's good because I want Roadblock, so he's the only one that I really want. Triplet loves Cobra Trooper. He is in love with that toy.
Hmm.
He thinks it's fantastic, so I probably won't be able to get one. That makes me very sad. If you find any G.I. Joe Retaliation toys and you might possibly want them, grab them now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because they might actually just can this movie.
No, they're not going to can the movie. That's not happening.
The Rock's like, I got to get paid.
But he's getting paid regardless.
He'll get some.
I'm pretty sure he's getting profits, like backdoor profits.
Yeah,
he's gonna want.
Yeah, so definitely, pick those up if you see them. And it was sort of a protracted new segment this week. We don't really go into the news that much, but some really interesting things popped up this week. Hey, let's go ahead and jump to comic news with Amy. This week, she talks about Robots in Disguise number 5. So let's go to Amy.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy, back again with another Transformers Comic News and Reviews in 5 minutes. Two things this week. Check out the Transformers Facebook page for commentary on Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye, issues 5, pencils and comments. Both Alex Milne and Andrew Griffith have their chance this month to give us comic book goodness. So you don't want to miss it. You're going to go check it out on the Facebook page. And sadly, all good things come to an end like the Transformers mosaics. After 5 years of hard work and 650 individual pieces, they will be closing shop the end of June 2012. So please jump on over to DeviantArt and give your thanks to all of what Josh Van Rijk and Sean Noller have put together for the Transformers fandom. They will indeed be missed. Out this week for review is Robots in Disguise issue number 5. This Ironhide issue introduces a character we haven't seen in IDW-verse, Skybite. And what is a space shark to do when the moment he lands on Cybertron, he's being told this and that and the other from both Metal Hawk and, surprisingly, Starscream, whose reputation has gotten around the galaxy? Well, Ironhide suggests that he doesn't just take Metal Hawk's word for how things are, just like it surprises him that Ironhide is talking to him and not trying to kill him. Why don't you go and talk to some Decepticons, too? But he sort of ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time and in Prowl's crosshairs. Things get a little dicey, but never worry. Ironhide won't let anything happen to people he promises to look out for. And in the end, was it a manipulation from Starscream and Metal Hawk to disarm the ID chips? Or was it really just a coincidence? All this and a bit more in this week's issue. Another wonderful issue. It's nice to see Ironhide in the spotlight this issue, and he's every bit the lovable character we all know and love from the original G1 series. The conflict of the issue wasn't as intense as it has been in other issues. Mostly the goal of this issue was for Skybite to find out how things are going on Cybertron, and Ironhide making a pretty distinctive stand on the ramifications of how some things have been put into play and how things need to change so everything works better. It does have an interesting end, and that's what gives a payoff that was not expected. So I'm giving this a 5 out of 5 stars. It's a slow burn, but it has a good payoff in the end, and that makes it deserve the 5 out of 5 rating, at least for me. And that, my friends, is this week's review, and I will see you next week.
Hello, this is Amy.
Hi, and this is Nick.
And we're going to do a really super fast review of Rescue Bots, episode The Return of Dinobot, which we actually met Dinobot for the first time in the first episode when he was the museum attraction that went crazy.
Yeah.
And it was the first mission that the Rescue Bots went on with the Burnses, and they had to work together. So we got he came back in this episode, and he kind of becomes a pet to Doc Green.
And I think it's the cutest thing, because
it is.
He's a good little pet.
He
but
is
a good little pet has a problem then.
Yeah, just a little bit, because he kind of gets taken over by a virus and then runs amok again. Yeah, it was a really cute episode, because he's like a big puppy dog until he turns into crazy, you know, Dinobot rampage.
And I love it. I'm a sucker for anything that has to deal with puppies.
Yeah,
so
yes,
it doesn't matter how big they are.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker.
So yes, Dinobot, he gets taken over by a virus, and they have to find a way to stop him and bring him back, and to have the antivirus put in him, and so that he can be completely cleaned of that and be back to his wonderful little self that does the Macarena.
Okay, now how cool is this? I know the Macarena or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so, what was it, 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's very old. Yeah.
But if I could teach my dogs to do it, it would be the next best thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, that was part of the charm, is that you could teach him how to play the Macarena. And not only that, is that they taught him how to fetch tea.
Mm-hmm.
Tea that Dr. Green wouldn't even drink. but he also, like, they started petting him like a dog, and he'd kick his feet like a dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, let's see. Frankie rides him like a horse and slides down his tail. Let's see what else. This is also the episode that we had the whole fog thing that rolled in, and the Rescue Bots were really enthused about that. It's like, oh, it's fog.
I, I,
I really liked how they made the fog too. I mean, it's a simple animated show, but for some reason it just gave it an extra little spark, a little flair. So
yeah, it was like having a complete environmental change without really changing things too much. But yeah, it was good. Let's see what else happened in this issue. We got a smoky view of Dr. Morocco. And if anybody has been keeping up on the show, you've probably already met him, and he's already taken over and left.
Yeah, it's not Dr. Morocco. It's Tim Curry. Come on.
Yeah. It's played by Tim Curry, but we don't get to hear him speak until the next episode. So
yeah,
it was kind of a good teaser. Let's see, what else was good about this episode that I really, really liked that was really charming? Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, because I was going to talk about the ending.
I really liked, it was just fun to see, like I said, Dinobot come back, and they use him for something, because he's like a guard dog, a watchdog for Doc Green and Frankie and their computer system. He comes in and he helps to check to make sure that no one's interrupted the firewall, and that is until he's infected with a virus, which we eventually find out that it was Dr. Morocco that did it. Mm-hmm. He takes over, and they have this little band that Doc Green uses to control Dinobot, which it stops working when he's infected. So, but yeah, they're able to stop that and bring it back. And in the end, there's some interesting results, which Nicole will now tell you about.
Yeah, because, okay, if you guys have listened to Amy and I review over at the Rescue Center, we've always had this joke about Doc Green being a little dangerous. Well, it finally came and bit him on the bum, finally. He does lose his job over this one. So,
darn it! I was kind of sad.
You know, as much fun as we always, joke around with them, yeah. I gotta admit, I was like,
no!
Oh, wow, I really didn't think they would go that way.
Yeah, but I didn't think they would either. It was a complete and total surprise. I thought, yeah, no, I was, poor Doc Green has no job.
No, it's because I really feel sorry for Frankie. The thing is, they did clear up whatever situation that happened, and he still loses his job, and you're just like, oh,
yeah,
great. Yeah. I did kind of feel bad. I'm just like, did we lead to this?
Is it our fault because we've been knocking him so bad?
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. I don't want to say anything more because the episodes after that will also, we'll find out what happens with that, the results and the consequences of him losing his job. So, and we'll save that for next week when we review two, the whole Dr. Morocco saga. So yeah, we'll review that next week. So, and that's going to be us for this week, on Rescue Bots. If you get a chance, check it out. It's a nice little show. It's great for the kids. The kids will love
it.
Fun. It's adorable. It has a lot of adorable moments. Two girls enjoy it. So there you go.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear more in-depth stuff, you can check us out at the Rescue Center.
Yep. And I will tile that nice little link right across the window.
Ooh, you're talented.
I know. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
So XB and I were having one of our moments during the break, talking about
where
that.
Where they stared lovingly each other's eyes.
I guess. There's subtext there.
There has been for years.
I'm surprised that XB didn't actually try to kiss me when we were in the car alone together. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one sweaty fist bump kind of put me off the whole idea. So.
That was just freaking hot, dude. I'm amazed. I've never...
And you were also sleeping for a decent amount of the time, bro. So you're actually not sure what transpired.
There was very little sleeping going on during BotCon.
Take that as you will.
I know, right? I don't know what you guys did there.
Most of the sleeping
was
done by...
scrubbing for a while.
Most of the sleeping was done.
Let's just put this out on the table. I had my own room with a closed door, so if any of that was going on... Talk to Brian and JD about it.
But, Peter, most of the sleeping was done, so... definitely can't guess. So, hey, Don. I love Don. Yeah. You know, because of BotCon last month, we actually didn't have a chance to do a third-party roundup, so we just kind of all squeezed some of the stuff together. So we wanted to sort of catch up and do some of the discussion around that. Some neat things have happened, and some terrible things have happened that I think we mentioned in passing, but we can go into a little more detail this week. One thing I want to start with, and I have to say... I really like their boxes. iGear Toys revealed box art for PP05W and PP05M, which are the Not Ratchet and Not Ironhide toys coming out. Their boxes are they're pretty good. They're plain cardboard. There's no window, but it's a nice thick, you know, grade of cardboard. Art's nice, the graphics are nice, the printing is really good. The packaging, the internal packaging is really good. The tray that the toy comes on, they actually do a really good job with that aspect. Of course, I don't think they could do die-cut windows anytime soon because of the cost in that, but at the scale they're doing it, I mean, they are really knocking that out of the park.
Although, I want to say one of the... actually, I think both of the groups doing the Devastators had the die-cut windows.
They're also like $600.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The individual price of a Hercules unit...
$90.
...is about the same as what iGear wants for their Warrior and Medic figures.
That's a good point. So, good point, yeah.
And with the volume of stuff iGear turns out, you got to imagine, you know, they kind of got some money going into this.
They're like IP theft tycoons. They
yeah,
are just
much.
Raking in the money.
They got an empire that's going on.
I picture the guy from Monopoly, you know, turning out, you know, knockoff Transformers.
We should design a Monopoly board based on this concept.
Did you guys get the Monopoly Transformers board by chance?
No, never got that.
I wanted to, and I never did. Wish I had. But yeah, so... Warrior and Medic look pretty nice, but I have yet to pick up any of the higher-end, higher-dollar iGear stuff.
I'm not getting these.
I'm just not dropping that much cash on a third-party toy.
John says they suck.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't like them at all.
I'm really fond of Rager, and Spray is nice, too. But I think Rager is great. And Hinch, I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, but those are iGear... traditional iGear ones. These are partner products that, I mean, you've been hearing about this one for like a year and a half now,
yeah,
so. The thing with these is they're kind of like, you know, half alternator-ish, half masterpiece. If they would have been scaled down a little bit cheaper, where they could fit with, you know, a classic setup or even like the upcoming smaller masterpieces like Sideswipe.
Actually, good. That's a good point, and it's something that we actually mentioned. Failed to mention in the news. You said it's sort of half alternators, half masterpiece. That's kind of what the new masterpiece toys almost kind of are in a way. And they're bigger than and more, you know, intricate, I would say, than probably the alternative stuff. But they are smaller.
The alternative stuff is kind of complex, but yeah, bigger for sure. They're projections. For Sideswipe are to be about the size of an average alternator.
Yeah, and BBTS had dropped the pre-order price on those as a thank you, which to me just says that the toys actually cost probably quite a bit less than they anticipated.
It's kind of how it worked with Masterpiece Sunstorm, where they pulled the same deal, but it's just, okay, we don't actually have to pay as much for this as we thought we did, so...
So you're welcome. Congratulations. but yeah, so... Yeah, I, the partner stuff being sort of quasi masterpieces, shish, that makes sense. So we got clearer pictures of the Zubergen. How would you say that? Zubergen?
I go with Crossovergen.
Crossovergen? That makes sense.
That works. Yeah, or Zubergen, yeah.
Crossovergen, that's probably correct.
Who knows? They're Chinese.
Yeah. so we got pictures of that in robot mode, which is basically the third-party masterpiece, third-party Power Master Prime.
And then a few days later, they announced that they were also going to release their own retooled Classic Prime Cab robot to go with it.
Yeah.
And that's when we knew, okay, well, this is getting sued into the ground.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
So it's essentially like, yeah, they were like, oh, so this Classics one won't fit, so we're just going to retool one.
Well, no. The existing toy is what they're using in some of the demonstration photos. And it does fit in there. I think what the retooled one is trying to do is have it where you can plug a PowerMaster engine onto it.
Yeah,
that's the most lawyerific part of it. The only change that I can see is that they put a PowerMaster socket on the front of that toy.
Probably the reason for that is this. Like a lot of these toys that come out, City Commander and all of these, they require that you have the original toy. And that is often the bottleneck because, you know, I don't actually have Masterpiece or I don't actually have Classics Ultra Magnus anymore. I never got Classic Prime, so I would end up having to get those if I wanted this, and I honestly kind of do because it's freaking PowerMaster Prime.
It's not like United had a re-release of that mold recently to use either. The last time that came out was for NK, like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it's not cheap.
It wasn't cheap at the time either. It looked a lot better than the US one, and you know it was high demand right from the start.
It was.
I would like to have one, but I don't want to pay for it.
Yes.
I think I sold mine.
Oh, darn it. But I mean, again, I mean that's really the bottleneck on these. Like when that third party head for not Onslaught for Hardhead came out, that really drove up the price of the Hardhead toy because, well, I mean, now people actually have a reason to want it. I skipped it, like, every time I saw it in the store because, I didn't like it. But, you know, once that head came out, I mean, it was pretty sweet. So these third-party toys really do drive secondary market demand for things. And while reprehensible in one respect, it's really smart on their part if they get away with it.
I don't really think there's anything wrong with putting out add-on stuff for existing toys. I don't really think that should be a problem.
Right, exactly. But retooling...
It's just when you get into things like, you know, Warbot Defender, Hercules, you know, anything where it's making a whole new figure of their own based on this existing thing, that's where you get into your...
Yeah, I mean, making a whole new toy based on an existing, you know, character or IP is one thing, but making a whole new toy based on the mold of a pre-existing toy...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just outright bootlegging, but...
Yeah,
even making stuff that's completely unique design, but based on character X, you know...
It's almost like prestige bootlegging, because, you know, the stuff that you get at Dollar Tree or Family Dollar, or Big Lots, you can get cheap because it's cheap Chinese crap. But this is going to be exorbitant. I mean, it's going to be expensive.
To be honest, I've been waiting for some of these third-party molds to get double bootlegged and show up at Big Lots or Dollar General or wherever.
Well, I mean, it does happen. They just don't end up over here because I think even at the knockoff level, they're still too expensive. Battle Tanker's been knocked off. All the City Commander trailer types have been knocked off already.
Mm-hmm.
I think there may even be knockoffs of the Iger Cupheads.
Wow.
What? There's a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff?
Well, the Cuphead's not really a knockoff.
It's an expansion. Or it's
So there's a knockoff of the illegitimate third-party product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do want the Power Master Prime, sort of, because it's Power Master Prime, but it just there's something about it that it just gets wrong. It's just off. I mean,
I think the legs are a little too skinny, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm so stuck on that toy because it was such a huge part of my youth, or it's just because it's really the only fiction that we ever got that he was in was, you know, the U.S. comic, and he didn't really look like this at all.
In the U.S. comic, he looked like the toy, except with separate legs.
Yeah, I mean, so he really looks more like... I know he's supposed to... I know it's Jinrai and all that, but for some reason there's something about his stance and pose that makes me think more of Star Convoy, who's even more of a brick than Power Master Prime is. but, you know, whenever you see depictions of him, he has this, he's always in a really dynamic pose.
I see that.
But it's still nice looking, and, you know, it still sort of tickles that nostalgia nerve or whatever that that really makes me want this. It just, it looks...
Is that all tickles?
It all tickles. It all tickles.
Now, we should remember, too, that Crossover Gen is the ones who made the Rolling Thunder Optimus Prime thing a couple years ago, which met pretty much universal negative reviews.
Which one was that?
It was the one based on a G.I. Joe vehicle.
Ah, okay. Because I know that wasn't the steampunk stuff.
It was the one that was only sold in a two-pack with its own recolor for, like, $300.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure did not help the reviews any, but it was just a badly designed toy.
Yeah, I don't know that why anyone would want to... I guess because there are people who would want that in the sense that people would want the Sky Striker Starscream because it's sort of a amalgamation of two different beloved universes, but that's not a crossover that you really want to call back
to. I don't know, people been begging for G.I. Joe Transformer toys for years anyway, so.
Which I don't know why they don't, besides Snowcat, I don't know why that hasn't really happened. It makes so much more sense than, you know, the licensed stuff that they do, the Marvel stuff, or the Star Wars stuff. They don't have to pay flipping licensing fees on those. It would make perfect sense to do it, but they don't.
That's because kids don't like G.I. Joe.
That's true. That's the simple answer. Kids don't like G.I. Joe.
And they're really not going to like G.I. Joe when there's none of it in a movie theater or on store shelves for the next year.
Kids aren't going to like it when there's no male stripper in it. That's the problem.
Not sure that kids are aware of the male stripper.
Oh, they will be. They will be. But yeah, so...
You'll see to it.
Yeah, I will see to it. I have a lot of Google ad credits I need to spend. but yeah, so... but this, I mean, going just back, we'll just briefly mention this again. The thing when I saw the Crossover Gen Classics Prime news that it was going to be remolded, that's, I really think, is going to be this straw that breaks the camel's back. I really think Hasbro has to do something at that point. So that's a pretty big deal.
It gives them leave to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just the trailer unit that can interact with that, that's harder to fight directly.
Yeah, I don't think they hate that. But yeah, definitely.
I think that's the part that they always wanted to just remain happily ignorant of, so they could let it keep happening.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You know, like Takara already took the approach of going to the stores that carry the third-party stuff and putting pressure on them to not carry it anymore. That's how they started fighting back against the third-party stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that. Remember the Perfect Effect Reflector set?
Yeah.
You know, stores in Japan were instructed to not carry any of those by Takara representatives because it wasn't official product.
And I can't blame them.
Well, it was overpriced and really tiny anyway, so it's not like...
But
I mean, it's not like it's going to be... For as much as they can help, it's not going to be, you know, a legal matter.
Yeah, and I know firsthand that Hasbro Legal is actually pretty cool when it comes to stuff. And I probably should edit that out. But, yeah, this is really just going too far. The next piece, though, the Actoys Bumblebee, the Volkswagen version. So that looks to me, is that an upgrade kit of the Classics Bumblebee, or is that another retool? I can't tell from the picture.
I'm pretty sure that is another bootleg, basically. I don't think it's a custom kit, even though it could have been.
It could have been a custom kit. Well, yeah, maybe not easily, but it could have been.
Yeah, I think there's too many pins in Bumblebee to tap out to get the new car panels on. That's really difficult to do without breaking the toy.
Yeah, just a little too much there, Actoys.
It's a little too much and not quite enough at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks like he looks like he's wearing like body cladding. Like you ever see like when cars are in testing and they're essentially just like mules and they wear like old body cladding just to like mask what it looks like. That's essentially what it looks like to me. Essentially, they're just like, let's just slap a whole bunch of stuff on here.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, is it pretty faithful to the, you know, Volkswagen? I guess so. I don't know. Maybe the hood looks a little too, the front end of the car actually looks too long. It actually looks more like a Datsun or something.
Is not a Datsun.
Yeah, it looks, well, I mean, I'm not, it just, the front end looks too long. It doesn't quite necessarily.
Might be a Super Beetle. They had slightly longer hoods.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, not familiar with that car.
And the way it, like, sits back in the back, it looks like a Super Beetle, too, yeah.
But that's not what Bumblebee was, so no. This doesn't make any sense.
Wasn't Goldbug a Super Beetle, or was he just a Beetle in gold?
He was a...
We can go with that.
He was a Beetle in gold. He was pretty unremarkable. Yeah, but I mean...
See, with this, it's not really, you know, Hasbro or anybody to worry about so much. It's Porsche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
Porsche gets a little antsy about people using their stuff.
They did.
I mean, it's not a bad effort. It's just one of those things that it just doesn't sit quite right.
No, it's kind of a bad effort.
Considering
I mean, I can see what they were going for. But it didn't work at all.
Okay, I guess subtracting out Hasbro and Takara's hard work and putting that together, it's a pretty bad effort. Most of the thing that works about this is what Hasbro actually already did.
Well, okay, I mean, I've seen people, you know, fans, reshell a Transformer into another vehicle mode and have it come out much better than this looks.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Part of me kind of wishes that this had worked out better. Like, if this had come out better and had been gold-plated, and if they'd added, you know, adding on the gold bug head, that would be really, you know, nice-looking, potentially, but it's not. Fail.
No.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, anything else third party that that of note that happened in the last couple months that we haven't mentioned recently?
Well, the Make Toys Not Devastator looks kind of big. Apparently, the TF Source booth at BotCon had one under the shelf.
What was
like
it?
A complete set.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had that, and there was something else that they had. That...
Robot Kingdom had a bunch of stuff out, too.
Yeah. The Power Core Combiner upgrade kit.
Yeah. Iron Army.
And
Iron
the,
Army,
the Perfect Effect motorcycle sort of RC.
I didn't see that. What did you think?
RC actually looked pretty sweet.
Did she?
I thought it looked
pretty
cool, yeah.
It looked typical of a Perfect Effect toy, which is tiny, fragile, and overpriced.
Right, he was essentially the guy at there who was just like, don't touch it! Because it was a an old... It was like... He said it was a... like the prototype, and they still haven't gotten it, even though it was out, like, it was supposed to ship, I think, this week. So, it's supposed to be pretty soon.
But no, I mean, there was a few third-party things floating around if you knew where to look for them. Robot Kingdom had a Hercules, they had the Perfect Effect thing, and the transforming Power Core limbs. Captured Prey had the Ironclad Hearts of Steel Shockwave. Which, that looked large and expensive.
Yeah, I mean, some of these... I guess the cool thing about the fact that there are so many third-party companies that have sprung up is that they can sort of cater to everyone that has sort of a niche interest or, you know, that niche interest. Now, G1 is niche because there's only an increasingly smaller subset of people who actually want it. these variations that are based on, you know, comics, alternate universes, or these concept pieces that, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if a Transformer, you know, looked like this? They can sort of cater to everyone. But the thing is, because everyone's catering to different people, there's not a lot of competition to drive prices down in any one specific market. And that kind of sucks. But I guess if these toys were less expensive and more available, Hasbro would have no recourse but to crack down.
Yeah.
So maybe the fact that they are so expensive and so niche just makes it, them a little safer. But I think their safety is short-lived.
Yeah, almost every time, at least, that I see something new, I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be the one that brings the rabid lawyers? Because they keep pushing a little bit farther every time. In a way, it's kind of irritating, because in terms of defending copyright, it was actually very nice of Hasbro in the first place to say, yeah, we're going to leave upgrade kits alone. You know, just please don't tell us directly about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And they just keep pushing it a little farther every time.
Yeah. They're like spoiled children, basically.
Eventually, to a certain extent, yeah. This will not end well.
Yeah. Eventually, mommy and daddy will have to spank.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that's pretty much it as far as third-party stuff goes. We'll probably try to catch, as long as there's enough stuff to talk about next month, we'll do another third-party roundup week on RFC. Hey, starting next week, I'd mentioned some in the pre-show. I don't know if I'd mentioned any yet, actually, in the course of the show. We're starting a new segment next week. It's called Transformers Rewind. We've been talking about it for a while, but we're finally putting it out. We've got the first couple already in the can. Basically, we are sort of reviving the original spirit of the Twitter theater concept. So between now and next week, go ahead and pull out your Beast Wars DVDs, or go to YouTube, and watch the Season 2 episode Bad Spark. We will be reviewing that next week. So do
you
that
know,
along
considering,
with us.
Considering Netflix has put Beast Wars Season 1 up for streaming, you really should have picked a Season 1 episode to start with.
Yeah, but that happened after the fact.
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. You actually, why don't you just do it next week?
We didn't do a Beast Wars Season 1 episode.
Why not? Why not do it next week?
I guess we could do that this weekend, but I'm not going to. Pull out your Beast Wars DVDs and watch Bad Spark, or again, YouTube. Even though I have the Beast Wars DVDs, I actually pulled some clips for use in the review from YouTube. Just because it was easier.
It's easier than ripping it yourself.
It's much easier. But yeah, so we start that next week. at the end of each show, I'll mention the show you need to watch for the next week, and we'll actually also mention it on Twitter as well. So follow along with that. I think
basically we're ripping off the format of Superhero Time.
We're ripping off Twitter Theater.
Yeah, but originally you thought you were ripping off my thing, when in actuality I ripped off RFC's thing, which then you're ripping off again. So it's just this big circle.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
Big RFC circle jerk.
Whoa, I am not part of that.
If we titled episodes, that would be the title of this episode, the RFC Circle Jerk. Okay, so you can follow us on Twitter at
TF... We'll make up a segment that we can use that for.
We probably will. Or at least it'll be an April Fool's segment.
Yeah.
I don't think
you just talk about the toy that everybody liked that week.
Mike will be like, I'm not reading this. I'm not saying this these terrible things.
All we have to do is, come up with... reasonable stuff that involves those words, and I can make it happen.
We thought about that. We actually did think about doing some stuff like that before and basically tricking Mike into recording it.
We have done that to an extent, not like tricking him into saying bad stuff, but when I need him to say different stuff than what I have, like at the last minute, I can I can't have done the editing for
we
it.
We got him to say, you got him to say Ghost Sager and some really long Japanese word that I don't recall. So I don't know that he's going to say circle jerk or butt plug or anything like that, but maybe we can figure it out. April Fool's next year, guys. It'll be awesome. So you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. You can join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. And you can actually follow me personally on Twitter at B Kilby, at BKILBYXV. You are not on Twitter, Peter.
How can I am you on Twitter, but you can't follow me.
Even though he's public, just follow him all you want. You can just search for his name. He'll show up. Pete _Van on Twitter, and we also do at Screenview Show, so follow us. We'll eventually be back, because apparently water gods have not liked us this past couple of weeks, so.
What?
Yeah, Amy had some, like, flooding issue, and then John had some sink issue, and hopefully my house doesn't explode from water or something like that next week.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah, no recording.
Yeah.
So, but
how about you, Rob?
I am on Twitter at FlailThroughs, and also at the associated site, flailthroughs.blogspot.com.
Sweet. Awesome. And, of course, you can follow T-Formers at T-Formers.com, isn't it?
T-Formers.com. Yeah, Facebook /T-Formers.com. Actually, Facebook has been down for like 2 hours now, so it might not come back.
Wow.
But yeah, also at T-Formers on Twitter.
Yes, at T-Formers on Twitter. Sweet. Awesome.
Oh, and you can read XV in my Transformers reviews at T-Formers, and catch our other reviews by following at Figure Reviewers on Twitter.
Yay, Figure Reviewers. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, just today at T-Formers, their review of the Prime Deluxe Viacon went up. Great toy.
Yeah, Triplet has... Triplet, he picked up one for me. I can't wait to get it. It'll probably be Saturday before I see him, though.
And today on Figure Viewers, I reviewed the new Black Widow figure in the Avengers line.
Nice. I've been working on a review of Tank Megatron from United, and I've been working on it for probably a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll have it on next week. If not, I'll have it on the week after next on RFC. It's not good enough. It's not good enough for figure reviews, but it will be good enough for RFC. Sweet. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Thank you all out there for watching or listening. We will be back next week. You can check out all our shows at tfradio.net. Thank you very much.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.